Welcome to BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable, the program where business and industry connect to share topics and ideas that move the world's energy. BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable is brought to you by the BIC Alliance. BIC Alliance and its sister companies, BIC Magazine, BIC Recruiting, and IVS Investment Banking, help industrial businesses grow through marketing and sales, hiring the right people, and merger and acquisition services. Visit BICalliance.com for more information.
Hey everybody, thanks for hanging out with us. This is Jeremy Osterberger with BIC Magazine, and I'm excited to be hanging out with Karen Vilas, president of Fortress Protective Buildings. Fortress Protective Buildings are blast-resistant buildings constructed from modular components that provide design flexibility as well as multi-hazard protection from fragment, overpressure, thermal, toxic, and extreme weather events. Karen, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you for having me. Really excited to be here today.
Awesome. So I know my quick intro into what Fortress Protective Buildings is doesn't cover everything, but I wanted to dive right in. Tell our folks a little bit about Fortress, maybe a little bit about Baker Risk and how things sort of came together over time.
Yeah. So backing up a little bit, Baker Risk is a 35 plus year company that's mostly a consultancy, but does things like testing and research and development as well. Me personally, I've been with Baker Risk for about 16 years, and my background is in facility siting, both consequence and risk basis. And through that work, traveling all over the world, visiting hundreds of facilities, what we found is there wasn't really a great solution to tell our clients to buy for when they need people to be in high hazard areas. So they're blast resistant buildings. You can get specialty designed buildings that do protect from multiple hazards. But there was no modular solution that could be quickly implemented. And so over time, we decided that this is something our clients really need. And Baker Risk decided to spin off Fortress Protective Buildings, which is designed to provide that solution to the market.
And a little bit interesting background on Baker Risk. Talk a little bit about the founder and how Baker Risk, you know, even developed from his background. It's interesting history there.
Yeah, we're really proud of our history. So Wilfred Baker started Baker Risk in 1984 as basically a garage retirement project. So at that time, he was working a lot with the U.S. government and military, looking at explosions and effects from explosions. And as he hired more people and got into that a little bit more, the natural next question is, well, what happens to structures and people within these structures in a blast event? So Baker Risk began to build out our protective structures groups to really look at buildings, both in terms of how they would respond to a blast, but also in designing to protect from blasts. And then the next question is, well, what happens in the process for that event to happen? What does that event look like? And so then Baker Risk built out the process safety section. So really that's how the three main sections of the company developed over about a 25-year period. And we're where we are today, 35 plus years in.
Oh yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, interesting. So Karen, I want to get into a little bit about what made you, right? You know, we talk about your background. You and I have met in the past and communicated. I want to hear a little bit about how you became the leader you are. You know, I want to talk about a little bit about your sports background, even going back to high school. You were recently inducted into the Morgantown High School Athletic Hall of Fame in Virginia. So that's impressive. Talk a little bit about that. What led you to your role today? And what about your background, even dating back to being a younger person, led to where you are?
Yeah, so I grew up in Morgantown, West Virginia, and I had parents who had two full-time jobs, but we also had a working farm. So from the very beginning, our family was all about hard work. It's schoolwork first, then chores, and then sports. So that's kind of the way I was brought up and the focus of my life over the years. My best friend growing up was my brother because we did live in the country. So we did everything together. And that meant a lot of time playing sports, from everything from basketball, baseball, to him making me put on his football pads so that he could have tackling practice. So, exposure to a lot of different sports over the year. As I As I got older, I focused mostly on the longer distance running, so cross country and the mile, 2 mile and track. And then I always played basketball all the way up through through high school. And so in those positions, I became a natural leader. So when you're working in sports or playing sports, you all have the same goal, right? It's to win. It's to do the best that you can do, both as an individual and as a team. So that's always a pretty clear goal in mind. And I try to implement that into the work environment as well. So as a company, if we can define who we are and what our ultimate goal is, that means that everybody is making decisions to benefit the company. So that's really how the leadership plays in.
Yeah. Nothing says sibling love like being put into football pads and used as a tackling dummy.
I know. Good thing there wasn't easy video filming then. Otherwise, you guys might have some clips of that.
Nice. Yeah, sure. Yeah. I had three sisters and a brother, so I know a little bit about that. So so how about basketball? Were you a point guard? What was your position in basketball?
I was a point guard. Very interestingly, my senior year, we were state runners up. So we came in second to a team that had three people go on to play in the WNBA. So I'm okay with losing to them in that situation, but that team was very young. And so leadership became an important part of my role. We started three freshmen, one sophomore, and then me as a senior. So that was a really interesting and dynamic group to play with.
Yeah, I can relate a little bit. I played catcher my whole life in baseball. And what I loved about playing that role is I was kind of the coach on the field. And yeah, if you think about it, everybody's looking my way on the field. I love that. I love my relationship with my pitcher. So I can relate somewhat on a little bit about my background as well.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, so many lessons through sports, and it's probably why I watch so much of it now, right? That's what makes it all exciting.
It's hard to get away from, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You still keep it up? Do you run at all? Or
I do. I run, but now I run for me. So I run and do some hot yoga. I don't time myself anymore, which is great. Just run for the fun of it. I did run up through college, though. So I ran cross country, indoor track, outdoor track at University of South Carolina, where I also got to be a team captain there as well. So interesting.
Gamecock, that's cool.
Yeah, Gamecock. Funnily awesome. Enough, though, I support the WVU Mountaineers in football, so don't ask me any Gamecock questions.
Gotcha. I gotcha. Interesting. Yeah, because that's where you're from. So
correct.
Really cool. Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing a little bit of that, Karen. It's great. And look, in the end, you know, we're an industry, but it's a bunch of people that make it happen. So I think people enjoy hearing about individuals and a little bit about their background to understand what makes up a company or the people behind it, right?
100%.
Cool. So let's get back over to sort of Baker Risk a little bit, Karen. So, you know, people know Baker Risk for process safety, you know, but what other services does BR provide that maybe are less well known?
Yeah, so I explained earlier in the history of the company that we have three main groups. So our blast group, our structures group, and process safety. But what a lot of people don't know is that we also have an arm of research and development and testing. And so that entire branch of our company is dedicated to tackling the current industry challenges from an educational perspective, and then implementing those into full-scale testing programs to help our clients better understand if something does go wrong, what happens, and then what type of mitigation measures can be used to lessen or protect people in those cases.
Okay, fantastic. So talk a little bit more about Fortress and maybe more how that came to be and, you know, what really, how was it originated? You know, we know a little bit about Baker Risk, but when did Fortress really launch?
Yeah, so I explained how we spotted the need in the market for this type of a product. But Baker Risk really encourages our staff, our engineers, and all staff really to be innovative. So at any point, anybody can put an idea on the table and talk about it and think about the implementation of it and what that would mean for our company. So Fortress actually started in our current CEO, Bill Mather's garage, as a prototype made out of wood. And once we took a look at it, we thought, yeah, you know, that's a really great idea. And the market really needs this. Our clients really need this to protect people. And so then it was just a matter of doing the detailed design for it. But the biggest thing for us was doing full-scale testing of every claim that we were making in terms of protective capability. So we used our two test facilities that Baker Risk has to do full-scale blast testing, full-scale jet fire testing, full-scale fragment testing, as well as toxic testing, and then some various other things associated with weather.
And so transitioning to that product side of things, obviously Baker Risk saw a gap, you know, in the BRB, you know, market, right? Is that how you would explain it?
Yeah, and we've done some work with some of the blast resistant module providers in the past, kind of looking at their designs, but we had no control over how that is implemented in the field. And it's all about field implementation on whether or not you're really getting those protective capacities that you're defining in the building structure. And so for us, if we were going to put a building on the market, it was essential that we control that full process. And so we dove straight into the product market.
Okay, that's interesting. It makes sense. Yeah. Tell us about the construction of Fortress and why is it unique?
So Fortress is actually made of reinforced concrete precast modules. So it is not a modular building per se, in that you can't pick it up and move it. But each module is about 16 by 10 by 10 and come together kind of like Legos. So with those Lego blocks, we've quoted everything from 200 square feet to 20,000 square feet. So very dynamic within a pre-designed product allows us to very quickly get to the field where we offer a turnkey product. And within about 9 months to a year, you've got your highly protective building. Traditionally, your stick-built buildings on site, even using concrete precast panels, would take a 3 to 5 year turnaround, and that's a long time for any site to be disrupted.
And their finished buildings, is that a good question to ask? You know, what?
That's correct. So we offer them turnkey. So there's some people that are interested in just buying the shell, but we prefer to do the entire process from designing the layout all the way through to commissioning and handover.
Gotcha. And what we haven't covered yet, Karen, is markets. I mean, refining, petrochemical are obvious markets. Where else do your buildings end up, or where are they now?
Anywhere where there is a high hazard situation. So currently our buildings are in the U.S. Gulf Coast and your traditional energy markets, and so oil, gas, petrochem. But they are also perfect solutions for markets like fertilizers, pharmaceuticals, manufacturing, places where there are dust explosions. So again, where there's more than one hazard present and you need people to be close in, Fortress is the perfect solution.
And give me a case study, Karen. Can you talk about, a client? I don't know if you want to mention my name, but talk about a client. Give me a case study of where, your products have been successful.
Yeah, so there's one refinery in Louisiana. I can't use a name, but we've now put three of the Fortress buildings in as operator shelters. And for them, they have a range of different hazards, but they need their people to be close into units because their operators act as the first line of response in an event. So they need to make sure their people are protected when the event happens, but are close enough that they can get out there and contain it and mitigate any ongoing damage. So they have been very pleased. Again, they've now purchased three of them. And we try to go back on a rolling basis and talk to the operators, get feedback on being in the buildings. And so far, everybody loves them.
Cool. Nate, no, thanks for sharing that. So Karen, what about Fortress attracted you? You know, we talked a little bit about your personal passion, but, you know, let's get into that a little bit more. You know, what makes you so passionate? And how does a leader, you know, how do you keep your team passionate about what you do?
Yeah, so for me, after working at Baker Risk for 10 years, I actually took about 18-month sabbatical and went back to school. I went to Oxford in the UK to get my MBA, and their program was designed as a social impact program, so really training leaders to lead social impact teams. And the reason I ended up in that program was I had a huge passion for driving the safety message, not just in the US, but globally, and making sure everybody was on the same page in terms of what it meant to manage risk and really make sure that people are as safe as reasonably practical in these facilities. So coming out of that, I actually did a little internship on our UK office after that experience. And in that internship, I worked on the Fortress business plan. And in that initial market research, listening to our clients talk about how this is the product they've been looking for, made me understand that fit, that social impact need that I was looking for. And so I was working part-time in Fortress, and then in August when the opportunity came up to be president, I jumped at the case.
I love it. Yeah. That's great, Karen. Well, thanks for talking a little bit about that, and interesting. Congrats on the MBA. That takes a little bit of effort to secure that.
Yeah, thanks. It was probably the best experience of my life. Really glad to do that.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, and you feel like that knowledge and learning have been transferred to the business?
Yeah, it was just enough about leadership positions and kind of the overviews of financial and running a business. So really geared towards entrepreneurship. So I feel like that was the perfect range of skill sets that I needed to dive into this position.
Yeah, no, it makes total sense. Well, let's flip over to maybe some new or at least expanding markets. You know, the path of industry to reach some of the net zero carbon goals that have been outlined has got to be expanding hydrogen and ammonia production for transport fuels. But from a safety and risk perspective, you know, do you have any thoughts on how industry should move forward, obviously as it relates to, you know, protection in the work environment?
Yeah. So first, I think it's important to say that I've been working with Baker Risk for 16 years, and from day one, we were working with hydrogen and ammonia in different markets. So these are not new materials. There's companies that are very used to handling and operating with these materials and doing it safely. So there's the history of safety out there, and it's up to these newer startup companies, newer technologies, to lean on that knowledge and implement that to make sure they're operating as safely as the companies that have been around for a long time. And the first step in that is to start early. So the earlier in your design, you start considering the safety studies and safety aspects of the challenges with hydrogen and ammonia, the better off you're going to be in the long run. It saves time, it saves money and schedule in the overall project to do that kind of in that initial pre-FEED design phase.
Yeah, interesting. No, thanks for sharing a little bit about that. And as we all going to navigate this marketplace and new opportunities for our clients, is always something great to discuss. So thank you for sharing a little bit about that. Well, Karen, let's wrap up. I know you got some other things to do today, and I just thank you for your time. Is there anything else just openly you'd like to mention before we wrap up?
Yeah, so very exciting news on the Fortress side. We've listened to our clients, and they've been looking for a portable solution that meets the protective capabilities of Fortress. So we have that coming here in about March, and it's named Fortress Defender. So our next step in the rollout of that product is the full scale testing of that at our test facilities. So stay tuned on more about that.
Yeah, and they can, if members of our audience want to keep track of Fortress, certainly you can visit fortressprotectivebuildings.com to learn more and to stay abreast of what's happening at Fortress.
That's correct.
And Karen, well, thank you. I had a blast hanging out. Let's do this again. And, you know, as there's any regulations, OSHA guidance, anything as it relates to blast-resistant buildings, please know that you're always welcome to come back on anytime.
All right, great. Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. And for our audience, we're so thankful for joining us. Remember, for more news, videos, and podcasts, visit BIKmagazine.com. We've got a lot of great expansion news happening right now. Keep track of what's happening in industry, especially things being announced here in early 2023. Hey, folks, thank you so much for being here. Remember, it's what we do together that counts.
Thank you for listening to BIK Magazine's Industry Roundtable. Log on to BIKmagazine.com for industry news and resources. Industry Roundtable is brought to you by the BIK Alliance. BIK Alliance and its sister companies, BIK Magazine, BIK Recruiting, and IVS Investment Banking, help industrial businesses grow through marketing and sales, hiring the right people, and merger and acquisition services. Visit BIKalliance.com for more information.